have one, get your hand up. Ms. Hunsaker over here. Louise Gale over here. Everybody got a paper? Dentists don't have a paper. Everybody got a paper? Pastor Meyer don't have a paper. All right, are we there? Romans chapter 12. Love the book of Romans. We're going to be in verses 6, 7, and 8, Romans 12. Here the Apostle Paul writing as the Holy Spirit leads him. In verse 5 he says, so we, he's talking to church folks. You get that? He's talking about church people, saved people. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. And everyone, members one of another. We'll see it a little bit later, but this kind of carries the idea of 1 Corinthians, where Paul says in chapter 12, we're all part of the body. We're part of one another. He goes on then in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Lord, once again, we look to your word for our instruction. We know that this is why you gave us the word, to instruct us, to teach us for instruction in righteousness. And Lord, tonight there are truths we need to see, we need to understand, we need to apply in our lives. Help us tonight to do just that. Lord, speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit and the truths of your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody in here who don't like to receive gifts? Now, we all like to receive gifts. And tonight, we're going to talk about some gifts that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. And we're going to understand that every one of us has been gifted by God with at least one of these gifts. Sometimes more. But we all have at least one. And so as we study the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk tonight about the supply of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gifts we're going to talk about tie into the divine enabling we talked about earlier in our ministry of the Holy Spirit. These gifts that we're going to talk about are special abilities given to each one of us at salvation. You listening? Every person in here who's saved, when you got saved, God gifted you with at least one gift. And the purpose was that of serving God and fulfilling His call. Now listen. Your gift perfectly matches your calling. Your gift that God has given to you is what you love to do. Your gift that God gave you is what you're naturally good at, by the power of His Holy Spirit. By the way, it's not some spooky gift we're talking about. We're not talking about speaking in tongues and laying hands. No. We didn't see any of that in Romans 12, did we? See, in Romans 12, we find what we call service gifts. These were given to us so that we might serve the Lord using them. These gifts are what we're naturally good at by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's what we can do best to serve God and serve His people. You know, it's interesting that there's not a whole lot of Christians who really ever understand this thing of spiritual gifts, much less discover what their particular gift might be and use them for God. To a lot of believers, spiritual gifts are a mystery. Some believers say, well, I don't speak in tongues and I don't have, you know, I don't have knowledge, so I guess I don't have any gifts. No, 1,000 times no. You have a gift or gifts. And tonight we want to help you maybe to discern, help you to understand that you do have gifts and you ought to be using them for God. One of the most important things you can do after you're saved is to discover, develop, and deploy your spiritual gifts in service to the Lord. See, here's something I discovered in my Christian life, and it's true, and I've read it stated. Nothing is going to ignite your passion for ministry and your joy in the Lord more than using your divine enabling for His glory. It's when you begin to use your gifts and get involved in what God has for you that you're going to experience the real joy of your salvation. Using the gift God has given to you for His glory is one of the most rewarding and fulfilling experiences in your Christian life. Now, sometimes when we start talking about gifts, again, that idea of the charismatic sensationalism, you know, creeps into our mind, or the healing and drinking poison and playing with snakes. But that's not what we're talking about. In reality, those kind of gifts passed off the scene a long time ago. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13. Knowledge is going to cease, and healings are going to cease. Those tongues are going to cease. Those kind of things passed off. See, they were given during a particular time for a particular purpose. When God gave those gifts to the apostles, the Bible was not written. The gospel was new, and they couldn't take the word of God and say, here's the word of God about salvation. They took it verbally. And to verify who they were. By the way, the Bible says the Jews required a sign. And so in order for their message to be verified, God gave them the ability to do miraculous things. To speak in tongues, to heal, even to raise the dead. To pick up serpents and not die. Paul did that. But that all passed away. That's not for today. The gifts that we're looking at are for today. These are permanent, edifying gifts, and they're used continually in the building of the church. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:10, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We have what's perfect. You say, no, that's talking about Jesus. No, the Bible would not refer to Him as that. If it's talking about Jesus, say, when He that is perfect has come. No, it says that. It's talking about this. And we have it. And see, we don't need sign gifts. Because when we take this to people, we verify what we're saying, not by miracles, but by saying, here, God said it. Here it is in writing. You don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to believe it. I'm bringing God's message. Here it is, right here. You read it. And so we don't need those gifts. The gifts we need are for practical ministry. And these gifts are practical. They're ministry-oriented. They're serving gifts. And these gifts were not given to you for your edification. I'm leaving you hang there a minute. These gifts were not given you for your edification. In other words, God didn't give these gifts so everybody could say, wow, what a wonderful gift you had. No. He gave them to you so that you might use them for others. Jesus, others, you. See, we need to get away from this thing that it's all about me. It's all about Him. It's all about others. Ministry is about investing yourself in others. We've lost a lot of that today. So we're going to take a look at these divine given abilities. We're going to talk about discovering, developing, and deploying your gifts. Number one, spiritual gifts explained. Now, again, when you trusted Christ, you were given the gift, a gift, by the Holy Spirit in a very unique way. Listen, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit gave you a gift that would meet a specific need in the body of your local church. How did God know where I'd be in church? God knows everything. And He gifted you because there would be a need and you would fill that need. Hang on to that for a little while. Where'd you get that? Out of 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Even if you don't know what your gift is or you don't feel particularly gifted in some area, the Bible teaches you do have a gift that you are supposed to use to serve God. 1 Corinthians 12, when Paul talks about the body, he says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." You didn't choose what part of the body you're going to be. God chose what part of the body you are going to be. In other words, you don't choose what gifts you're going to have. You don't say, "Well, I'd love to have the gift of prophecy," or "I'd love to have the gift of ministry," or I'd love to have the gift of ruling. A lot of people want that gift. No. You have no say in what gift you are or get, what part you are. God does that. And He knows best. So He gifts us. Now, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? He says, "But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked." God wants to put you into a local church family. See, that's why I believe every believer ought to be a part of a local church family. Because God has a part for every believer to play in a local church family. And you're not going to play your part unless you're involved in a local church family. You mean I can't use my gift outside? I didn't say that. But if you're doing that, the church is hurting. Did you get that? See, God has a plan for a church, and He says, "I have saved people who are supposed to fulfill this part in the church. And if you're not fulfilling your part here, you're fulfilling it somewhere else, then this is hurting. There's a void here." And so we have to find out what part we play and participate in His work as a part of the body. He teaches you that you are vital to the health and strength of the rest of the body. Now, what do we do with our spiritual gift? Well, in 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul said, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." God wants you to be a good steward of that gift. Again, 1 Peter 4:10, we talked about that. "As every man hath received the gift, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And see, the great result when we're all using our gift is that others are helped. As the entire church family ministers to one another and to the community, the gospel changes lives. And that's the way the church is supposed to work. Somebody said this: too often we make church a spectator event. We attend services, listen to songs, hear sermons, and then go home. Now, these things are vital, but local church life should be a fully engaged life. It should be an immersive experience. It should be an experience that we plunge ourselves into, participating and growing and in fellowship and in serving with God's people. That's what it's supposed to be. I don't know why believers come into the church and bring a mentality that maybe they had before they came into the church. I ought to give God 1 hour a week. Or I ought to go to church and then I go home and the rest of the time's mine. That's not Bible. Remember in Acts chapter 2, the early church? 3,000 people got saved and they got baptized. You know what they did then? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. You know what that means? They got fully engaged in their local church. They got fully engaged with their life and with their service. And it ought to be true of us. As we discover our gift, we ought to want to use it for the Lord. That's why He gave it to us. You say, well, that's great, preacher, but I don't know what my gifts are. Well, let's talk about that. Spiritual gifts described. Now, in Romans 12, we have the list. And probably you've read that list before. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but if I did, probably most everybody in here would say, yeah, I read that list one time. That's not a list just to be read. It's a list there that we must ask ourselves, hey, where do I fit in here? I'm here somewhere. What is my gift? So we're going to talk about that. Paul lists them. And I'm going to make an effort to try to clarify maybe or help you. The first one he gives is prophecy. We don't believe in the Long Island medium. We don't believe in tarot card readers or palm readers or tea leaf readers. In people who tell the future. And you know, in reality, that's not what that word prophecy talks about. Even the prophets of the Old Testament, it wasn't just that they could see future events. They didn't just hear the future events from God, but they proclaimed them. This is what God said. Prophecy. Now, prophecy has some foretelling in the Old Testament, or foretelling, because God would give these men messages, but it included with that foretelling, taking it, claiming it, explaining it, saying it. And you know, there is a gift of prophecy for today. And the main role of prophecy for today is the preaching of God's word to other people. Now, we have the revelation of God. We have the Bible. And this gift of prophecy it's talking about here is the call of God on a man to preach His word. Remember in 1 Timothy, as we went through 1 Timothy and we talked about the qualifications of pastors, etc. And I said over and over again, the ministry of being a pastor is not a self-made ministry. It's not something a man calls himself to. This is something God calls a man to and gifts him to be able to do it. Hello. And so that's the gift of prophecy. Not everybody has it. I don't believe women have it. This is a gift for men. And God puts His hand on men and He calls them to preach His word. Then the next one is ministry. You say, whoa, what's it? Aren't you in the ministry? Yeah, but That's not what this gift is really talking about. This ministry, we might also, you might put beside it, helps. Beside prophecy, put preaching. Beside ministry, put helps. Ministry is serving. That's what a minister does. When you minister to somebody, you serve them. This would be a ministry of helps. This is that gift that God gives to certain people who have a desire to serve and help God's people and the church in many ways. But they're the volunteer places and the unglamorous places, the unappreciated jobs. It's not about recognition. It's about just being able to serve God, serve people, serve the church, and enjoy doing it. We have people who do things around here that people will hardly know they ever do. And they love doing it. Why? They have the gift of ministry. God's put it in their heart that this is what I enjoy doing. I've had people who do things, and I want to say something about it or show appreciation in some way. No, 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 don't do that. They don't want that. They just want to use their gift for God. And you know, that's not a real hard gift to use. Sometimes people think, I can't do anything for God. I don't have a Bible school education. I'm not that well versed in Bible. And hey, this is a gift God gives to people, and you can use it. Yeah. Where would the church be without what I call our unsung heroes? The people who do the things that people don't see much and don't pay much attention to. But it's so important. You know, this is something. Over in Acts 6, we saw the first deacons come on the scene. You remember that story? How the Grecian widows were complaining they weren't getting taken care of like everybody else. So the disciples or the apostles got together and they said, hey, we've got to do something about this. And they told the church, look out among you, seven men of good report, full of the Holy Ghost, who can wait on the tables while we take care of praying and ministering and preaching and the ministry of the word. What were those men called to? We call them deacons. That means servant. They were called to minister, to take care of the widows. You know, I don't know where the church ever got the idea that deacons had some kind of authority. Or the deacons ran the church. Not on your life. Deacon is an office of service. The deacon is there to help the pastor and do what the pastor needs for him to do. Amen. Ministry. Serve behind the scenes. Be faithful. Be diligent. Listen, if you have your gift, get involved, and your service is so vital to the church. Prophecy, ministry, teaching. Teaching is a gift from God. How many of you would agree with me? Not everybody is a good teacher. Yeah, we've all been in school, and we've all had teachers who you think, man, they ought to be driving truck or something. Their gift is not teaching. Have you ever had one of those? All right, and how many of you had a teacher that you said, boy, what a teacher. That is what they're called to do. Man, they are a teacher of teachers. Now, in the spiritual realm, not everybody is a gifted teacher. God gives some people that gift. And that gift involves a couple of things. It involves the ability to teach God's truth, and it involves the desire to help people to understand God's word and apply His word in their lives. God gives people to be teachers that they might dig into the word of God and find ways to make it understandable, to take people from where they are to where they need to be. Those with this spiritual gift are often found teaching in Sunday school classes or other teaching ministries. Now, this is a ministry that requires diligent study and a sound interpretation of Scripture. It's something that somebody has to like to do, to spend time in the Word and to make things palatable and understandable and find ways to get this across. Teaching. Then there's the gift of exhortation. You know, this really isn't a hard gift to understand. This is, God gives a person the ability and the desire to encourage other Christians in their Christian life. These people just have this desire. They want to lift up other people with positive words and positive deeds. The one who's an exhorter is really, really concerned, not just with the outward, but with the heart. Somebody said, the person who has this gift of exhortation is like the church fireplace poker. You ever have a fire and it was starting down a little bit, so you take the poker and get it stirred up? That's what this gift is about. Motivating. Trying to exhort people to love God and serve God and really mean it. Come alongside a brother or sister. You know, Barnabas, we read about him, how he came alongside of Paul. And he exhorted Paul and he helped Paul. And we can have that ministry. Listen, maybe God's made you one of those kind of people. You ready for this one? Giving. You say, oh, I just painted the preacher into a corner. I don't have the gift of giving. So now I don't have to give. No, 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 no. That's not what this is all about. Everybody is to give. God says everybody's to pay the tithes and to give the offering above the tithe, etc. We're supposed to give. This person with this gift has a special gift of giving. And honestly, I never really understood it until I met a couple of people that had this gift. Now, I got to tell you this. You don't go around and hear people say, hey, I got the gift of giving. And I don't know of too many people that pray, God, give me the gift of giving. Most people want the gift of receiving. You say, well, what's this all about? This is a special gift God gives to people. That when they see a need, their heart is just moved to give. They will give everything they have. They will give to everybody they can. And here's the thing. They have the ability to give and let go. If you've ever tried to help people, you know it's a very thankless ministry. Say amen. I'm just talking about financial. How many of us have tried to help people? We got burnt. Hold your hand up if you ever tried to help somebody and got burnt. That's a part of it. The people that have this gift are not concerned about getting burnt. I'm not saying they're foolish. But when they give as unto the Lord. They see it as I'm giving to God. And they're not looking for anything in return. By the way, those who have this gift of giving, the Bible says do it with simplicity. See, this person isn't the one who stands up in the church and says, hey church, I'm going to give a couple thousand dollars. Look at me. No. They're the person that in the offering, just puts it in anonymously, or maybe just slips it to the preacher and says, this is for the general fund. I remember an individual we had here years ago in the old building, and we'd have a need and we'd announce the need, and this individual would stand up and say, well, I'm going to give this much. I appreciated the giving, but it just didn't seem to be with simplicity. You understand? That gift of giving. As I say, I've known some people who had that gift, and I think I've mentioned before, my wife's dad had that gift. I don't know how many people he helped. And he never bemoaned the fact that he helped so-and-so. Most of the time, you didn't know. He was tragically killed in a car accident, some of you know. And at the funeral, people came to my mother-in-law, my wife, and said to my wife, your dad helped me. We had no idea. People came to my mother-in-law, oh, he helped me when I had a need. Had no idea. Because he wasn't looking for the praise of men. The gift of giving. What a wonderful gift to have. And you know, maybe the reason you haven't got more is maybe God can't trust you with it to give it. I don't know. The gift of ruling. I said everybody wants that gift. I want to rule my home. I want to rule my job. I want to rule it. No. That's not what it means. It's administration. Jot that alongside of it. It's the ability to lead and administrate part of God's work. It involves natural abilities of being able to organize, strategize, implement, coordinate, whatever. It's being able to keep things running properly. Administration. Not everybody can do that. I consider myself to be an organized person. I can't handle disorganization. I'm serious. My wife knows. I'm just being transparent. I have a hard time with disorganization. It really blows me out of the water. Now, some people can't take organization. They can't take structure. You know, everything's just boom, 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 boom. Not me. And I think it's because I have this part of this part. That's one of my gifts. Is I got to be organized. Administration. And not everybody has that gift. And I'm not faulting you if you do. When I was taking my master's program, the fellow who was the president of the college then was one of my teachers, Charles Shoemaker. He's a well-known evangelist and all. He's back in evangelism. But Brother Shoemaker, again, very transparent man, and he shared with us the one day, and I knew he was a very, very, I mean, I like to think I'm organized. Hyper-organized. He shared with us one. You know, he's the kind of guy, reminds you, if you look in his closet, all his shirts hang perfectly, you know, and all everything's facing the same direction, and, you know, it's just got to be that way. But he shared with us, he was married to a woman who is just the opposite. I thought, this must be interesting. But he was telling us the story. His wife wanted to go on a vacation. And he said, okay, where do you want to go? She said, nowhere, just I want to get in the car and go. He said, I don't think that's a good idea. She said, that's what I want to do. We'll just get in the car and go wherever we want to go that day, and we'll get a motel, and then we'll go somewhere. Well, he did it, but it drove him nuts. But see, for her, that was enjoyment. So not everybody has this gift. But maybe you do. You ought to be using it for him. One more. Mercy. You say, what's this gift all about? It's the ability for you to feel the pain of others and have that driving desire to help them. I don't want to embarrass her, but that's her right there. The gift of mercy. Sometimes it gets her in trouble. But that's her heart. When she sees somebody that's having a difficult time and pain and trials, she wants to help. She sees somebody with a need, she don't want to be like, you know, a lot of the people just pass by. She wants to stop them. What can we do? That's a good gift to have. This is the person who seems to know what to say. They have a good bedside manner. They love to visit hospitals. I know I don't have this gift. I'm serious. Since I had my little bout in the hospital, I don't like hospitals. I don't even want to go in them. But these have, and by the way, I do. It doesn't say I like it. But these people love to visit hospitals, love to visit shut-ins, love to visit sick, just love to show mercy. By the way, in Romans 12, a little verse down there in verse 15, look at that. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. That's exactly what the person who has the gift of mercy does. So, God has given each of us a gift. You can look at the list and try to figure out, what's my gift? By the way, if you ask God to show you, He will. But see, then you know your gift, you better use it. Spiritual gifts practiced. Number one, discover your spiritual gifts. I can't tell you what your spiritual gifts are. Now, I may tell you, if you ask me and I've observed you for a while, I might say, well, you seem to have, but I can't tell you. God will tell you. And don't forget, it's going to be something that you enjoy doing. Yeah. You may not be doing it, but you know that I like doing this. And you're going to be good at it. God's not going to give you a gift that you can't be good at. Develop your spiritual gifts. See, here's the problem. A lot of people are intimidated by the thought of serving God. This is especially true of people whose gift may require them to be in front of people. Teaching a Sunday school class or working in the children's church teaching or something or leading in some way. Oh, I can't do that. Well, if God gave you that gift, you can. You're just saying you won't. No. Listen, whatever gift God gave you, don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. You will find joy in doing what God has gifted you to do. By the way, you need to do everything you can do to develop that gift. Well, what can I do? Use it. How many ever heard this? Practice makes perfect. Use your gift. Get busy. And then, don't just use it. Refine it. Strive to get better at it. Read, study, practice. And see, these raw abilities God has given you are going to mature and multiply in time and in use. Discover them. Work on developing them. practice. Work at it. And then deploy. What's that mean? Get involved. Plug into your local church. Get behind the ministry. Get involved with the church family. Start using your gifts to glorify Christ in a local church body. You are God's gift to this church. Do this. And believe it or not, you're not a gag gift. God has put you here for a reason. There's a part you play. I almost used a visual that was a puzzle with all but one piece in it, and the piece was right above where it went. See, the puzzle's not complete without one piece. The body's not complete if we're missing a piece. Get in and do your part. Now, one of the things you're going to find, and I've found this in my Christian life, when you work to develop your gifts and apply your gifts, it's going to accelerate your growth as a Christian. Did you hear me? I remember the first 2 years I was saved, I wasn't too involved in ministry. I was in church, but I wasn't that involved in any ministries per se. I helped out mechanically on the buses and things, but then I got a burden to be busy in Sunday school. God burdened my heart to get involved in Sunday school. And I got involved. And I've told you the story. I only went to be a helper, and in 2 weeks I was a teacher. You know what that did for me? It pushed me to get my nose in the book more. You know what else it did for me? As I studied, I had 7th, 8th, and 9th grade boys. As I studied to do my class, I learned so much. It's the same with the preaching. Same with whatever you get involved in, it's going to enhance, it's going to help you to grow as a Christian. It will accelerate your growth. You know, you look around at folks who have never gotten really involved in ministry, and in many instances, they've not grown much. Amen? I'm not saying that's true of everybody, but in a lot of instances, when somebody don't want to get involved in ministry, they just come to church and go home. Okay? But when they get involved using their gifts, growth comes better. When everyone in the church uses their spiritual gifts for the glory of God, the church is able to function as God intended. I'm going to read this illustration and close. Imagine what that would look like throughout the week, from Sunday classes, discipleship, to all the weekly activities, when those with the gifts of teaching would be effectively communicating God's truth to soft hearts. Those with gifts of help would be serving food, helping in classes, cleaning, manicuring the grounds. Those with the gift of prophecy would be preaching God's word in church, nursing homes, extension ministries. Those with the gift of mercy would be visiting hospitals and homes, ministering to the sick and suffering. Those with the gift of encouragement would be strengthening the weary, ministering to the homeless, uplifting the discouraged. Those with the gift of giving would be significantly investing into the work of God with all their resources. Those with the gift of administration would be bringing to order to teams and projects, helping to bring strategy and order to vision and making it a reality. In this scenario, nobody is resenting the gifts of others. In that kind of scenario, the hand isn't wishing it was a foot, and the gifts of or the arms aren't trying to be the head. The body is serving together in a spirit-led harmony and unity. And the job's getting done. Spiritual gifts are the Holy Spirit's supply in your life. It's his way of equipping you to do what God has called you to do in your church. We need to discover. We need to develop. We need to deploy. And in 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. What's your gift tonight? Do you know? Don't raise your hand, but just think. If I came around and I pointed, I said, what's your gift? Could you tell me? Could you say, I really believe God has given me this gift? Or maybe you say, well, preacher, I really think God's given me a couple. And that's, I think I have a couple. I think God's gifted me with the gift of prophecy and teaching. And maybe some administration. What's your gift? See, you don't have to tell me. But one day you'll answer to him. It wearies my heart that God's people will take the abilities God has given them and use them everywhere but in the church. And some people won't use them at all. They'll just waste them. That's never what God intended. Don't lose sight of the word gift. Sometimes Christians say, well, this is a burden, God says, no, it's a gift. We are so privileged to have God give us an ability to serve him. Not only does he have a work for us to do, but he gives us the ability to do it. Let's don't sit on it. Let's use it. You know what will happen? You'll be a whole lot happier Christian. Yeah, you will. How do you know that? I've seen it. You will be more fulfilled in your life because you're using the gifts. You're achieving the purpose God has for you. Picture all those gifts there. One of them has your name on it. Maybe a couple of them. They're for you. He loves you that much. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gifts that you've given us. And Lord, too often we fail. We fail to use them effectively for you. But tonight we want to open our hearts. We want to yield ourselves to you, Lord, as best we know how. And I pray that tonight some believers would be stirred in this matter of discerning their gifts and then using their gifts. Father, you know the burden we've carried for so long, how there's so much to be done in the ministry and so few that want to be involved. And yet you intended for everyone to be involved. You said we're a body and every part of the body is important and plays a part. And when one part don't do its part, the whole body suffers. So help us tonight as believers to get serious about this thing of our gifts and to have a burden to use them for you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I don't want anybody looking. I'm asked this question. How many Christians in this room could say, preacher, I believe I know what my gift or gifts are. I really believe I know. Here's my hand. Hold it up. Hold it up. God bless you. How many of you would say, preacher, I believe to the best of my ability I'm using my gifts for God. Here's my hand. God bless you. How many would, you couldn't raise your hand and say, preacher, I don't know what my gifts are. But tonight I'm making a commitment. I am going to seek the Lord. I am going to ask him to show me, make clear to me what my gifts are. I need to know. Here's my hand. I'm serious about this, preacher. I'm going to ask God, show me what my gifts are that I should be using for you. here's my hand. Put it down. Now, how many of you would say, when he shows me, I'm making a commitment, I'm going to use it for him. Here's my hand. God bless you. Father, thank you again for what you've shown us. And Lord, as we've seen it now, might we not just be hearers, might we not just see the truth, but practice it. For those of us who know our gifts, help us to use them for you. To be continually plugged into the church and doing the work of the ministry as you would want us to. Being a part of our body here like we need to be. For those who are seeking, Lord, they just aren't sure. Show them. Make clear to them, through the power of your Holy Spirit and the witness of their life, just exactly what their gifts are and how they can use them for you. And we'll give you the praise and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.